Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
Thank you for joining us on Cowboy Church. Russ, I was just thinking before the camera started, there's lots of people out there that are hurting. And Sometimes we take hey, we're glad you're here, and hey, everything's great and wonderful, and we're all up. And there may be a person on the other side of that camera that has lost their family, lost a loved one. And I just feel like today we just need to tell you that we're here for you, that your neighbors are here for you. Maybe you feel alone. Maybe things are not going good for you. And maybe you're a farmer or rancher that bought cows when it was so stinking high, and now they're so low, and you're wondering what you're going to do to pay off your debt at the bank.
Sure.
That's what Cowboy Church is for. We're here to encourage you today. And we just want to tell you, as co-hosts of Cowboy Church, tune in. God may speak to you today and encourage your heart.
And you know, the beauty of what Susie's saying here is that we can't help you. We can't fix you. All we're trying to do is encourage you to tap into the one who we know can fix. The great physician. He's also a great manager. He also owns the cattle on 1,000 mm-hmm. hills. Mm-hmm. Worth about half as what, much as what they were last
That's
month.
Exactly.
You know? He's been there. Wherever you're at, he sent his son so that he could be where we are. And we encourage you today, get a hold of something. Get a hold of something. Don't let it just slide clear off mm-hmm. the side of the mountain. God will give you something to hang on to, all right?
That's exactly right. He wants to partner with you. He is your advocate. He's a good, good partner. Stay tuned for Cowboy Church.
Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. So now your burden's lifted and carried far away. His precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes you fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus and live. And filled with pain, and when the sky is dark, outpours the rain. Cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, oh, cry to Jesus, and live. And when love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain the joy inside, oh, dance for joy. with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye and go in peace and laugh on glory's side and fly to Jesus. That scenario of that song, whether you're dying inside in this world or you're laughing on glory's side, be with him all the time, because you know what, he's with you always. I thought that this was a very appropriate song, Mark. It's called Two in the Saddle. And since we're here at the National Western Stock Show, you know, there's some of these cowboys that they have rodeoed since they were knee-high to this plant, and they've grown up in the rodeo. Then there are those who are raised up on a ranch, and they know how to ranch, and they know how to rope one in the pasture and get him in, or in a trailer. Or there's those that couldn't rope in the pasture at all, and all they can do is rodeo.
Which do you think I would be?
Well, neither. But you can sure climb a mountain really well.
Right. Do you want to sing Two in the Saddle?
I think I will.
Let's
I think
it.
I'll stay on track now. Sunking down by the campfire after a long day driving cattle. Hot coffee and counting the stars one by one. And telling stories and dreaming of home and places you've never been. Well, it's a little bit of heaven here on earth when there ain't no fence to mend. But have you ever been a lonesome cowboy, wishing that you had a friend, and thirsting for water in the desert, and riding against the wind? So when your heart cries out at your needing low, won't you try looking again? When the Lord's in your heart, there's two in the saddle, you'll never ride alone. Miles to go. Cross country in a pickup truck, headed for the rodeo. Busting bulls and bucking bronks is wearing you a little thin. But it's a little bit of heaven here on earth when it's your turn to win. So have you ever been lonesome, cowboy? Wishing that you had a friend, and thirsting for water in the desert, riding against the wind. So when your heart cries out at your needing love, won't you try looking in? 'Cause when the Lord's in your heart, there's two in the saddle, you'll never ride alone. When your heart cries out at your needing love, won't you try to look in again? 'Cause when the Lord's in your heart, there's two in the saddle, you'll never ride alone again. Oh, when the Lord's in your heart, two in the saddle, you'll never ride alone again. There's two in the saddle. You'll never ride alone.
The title of my message today is It the Right Decision. I have a question. I have a little simple question. How many of you feel like, you know, that David, when he had those his mighty men, that one guy who jumped in with a lion on a snowy day and killed him with his bare hands? How many of you feel that that's the kind of challenge you'd like to take? If I was bigger and stronger and faster and younger, I still wouldn't do it. How many of you would even cross your mind to, you see a mountain lion and you're just going to attack him with a pocket knife? How many of you think that you could do something like that? I asked that to my staff. I said, how many of you would just attack a mountain lion with a pocket knife? And Emily gave the most interesting question. She says, that depends. And I said, depends on what? She goes, if I'm hungry or not. So I want to give you, now I didn't see anybody raise their hands. They just attack a mountain lion with a pocket knife. So you're pointing one out that actually raised his hand? Yeah. Okay, so here's the second half of that scenario. I read in the news that on August the 21st, there was a father in Colorado that stepped outside his house and a mountain lion had his 8-year-old son, and he had a hold of his head and he was chewing on his head, and the only weapon the guy had was a pocket knife, and he attacked the mountain lion with a pocket knife and saved his kid. So here's a question. If your child was being mauled by a mountain lion, how many would attack him with a pocket knife? Yeah. So actually, a great decision isn't really a great decision if you don't have all the information. None of you would have volunteered for that until I said your child was in the middle of it. And I didn't even have to ask for volunteers. People were jumping in on it because there's information that makes a difference. So, this is Elijah. Elijah is a prophet of God, one of the most dynamic prophets of God that there was. Outstanding individual, would stand if he knew God was in it against anything. And in fact, here he is standing. Here's the story. Before we even finish reading the scripture, here's the story. Obadiah meets Elijah. Now, Obadiah is the king's right-hand man. He's a godly man, and he sees Elijah and identifies him, and he says, you do know that the king is wanting to meet with you, right? And Elijah says, I'll meet with him today, and Obadiah says, you don't hate me. I'm not going to go tell the king, because what'll happen is I'll go get the king, and the Spirit of God is going to whisk you up and take you somewhere else, and the king's going to be mad at me and take my life because I had a chance to bring you in. He says, if you say you're going to see the king, you need to come with me to see the king. And Elijah says to him this. He says, I'll meet with the king, but we're going to meet on my territory. We're going to meet here. You go get him, and I'll stay here. So Obadiah goes and gets the king. The king comes to Elijah, and he says, there you are, the one who troubles Israel. And Elijah says to the king, I'm not the one that troubles Israel. You are. You and that wife of yours. Because he was the king, but she was the ruler. And he says to him this. He said, we're going to decide if God's God or if Baal's God. And you go get your worshiper prophets, 950 prophets of Baal or the high places. He says, you go get them and we're going to find out who God is, if God's God or if Baal's God. And Ahab says, good enough. But Elijah, here it is in 1 Kings 18, Elijah said to all the people, came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Theodore Roosevelt says this, in a moment of decision, the best thing you can do is the right thing. The next best thing you can do is the wrong thing. The very worst thing you can do is nothing. So here we are, Elijah and is there getting ready to meet with the prophets of Baal. I want to read to you Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. It says, I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. And we already know the principle. The principle is in Deuteronomy. And at this point, we're going to stop and pray that I don't make these decisions like this again, okay? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'd bless this message. God, I pray that you would help us to catch it all and to understand what it is, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. There are several factors to a decision. Number one is prayer. And I want you to, as you read later the rest of this chapter of chapter 18, what you're going to find out is Elijah, they set up the sacrifices. The prophets of Baal went through all of this stuff. They started in the morning, they went to the afternoon, they went till evening, and they were cutting themselves, they were bleeding, they were dancing before God, they're prophesying, they were going through all of their and all of their stuff, and the high places was filled with drug activities. So they were going through all of their rigmarole, trying to call down Baal to call fire on this sacrifice. And I love Elijah. Elijah, he starts harassing them. He starts trash talking them. He said, maybe he's busy. Maybe he's gone on a trip. Maybe he's tired of y'all and he's sleeping. He was after him. He was trash talking him. And finally he says, okay, let's put an end to this. He says, bring the water. I want three barrels of water poured over this. They poured three barrels of water. And he says, go fill those three barrels up again. And they filled them up again and poured them on the sacrifice. And they did that four times, 12 barrels of water, to where the water not only dripped all over the sacrifice, but it filled the ditch all the way around the altar. And Elijah prays this prayer, and he begins to pray. And his words are this. As he finishes his prayer, he says these words. As was spoken to me by your word, or as was directed by your word, or as your word instructed me. What you need to understand is Elijah was not some mad guy on an impulse calling fire down out of heaven. Elijah had spent time around that altar with his knees on the ground seeking God, and when it came time for a decision, it was not impulsive, it was God-directed, and it was the right thing. Now, last year, I got to go to Israel in October. It was my day to do the devotion. When we landed at the site where Elijah called fire down out of heaven, and God answered with fire and consumed the sacrifices and burned them up. And an interesting thing happened. Elijah was standing all alone trying to get the people to go along with him, and nobody would commit. But when they saw the fire, and when they saw that it was God that answered by fire, they all made a commitment. They all turned and decided to go with him. Now, I don't expect you to make a commitment if I'm here on my own impulse. I don't expect you to make a commitment to God. If I'm rowdy and happy, I don't make expect you to make a commitment to God. If I'm angry, I don't expect any of that. But let me tell you something. When the presence of God enters a situation and God begins to make a difference and God answers however he answers at the time, and it's not an impulsive thing, it's an answer from God because you spent time praying, you will make the right decision and people will follow. In James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. How do you ask of God? It's called prayer. Who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it'll be given to him. It's a conscious decision. If one of your background verses you need to read is Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Or go spend some time with God until you hear from God. And when you hear from God, then you'll know what decision you need to make. That's what it's saying. So, Proverbs 1, 28 and 29, then they will call on me and I will not answer. Now, hear this, I just told you to pray and then God will hear you, but listen to what it says. They will call on me and I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of God. Here is what the Word of God is saying. We have a foundation for our decisions already. It's called the Word of God. And if we refuse to understand how God feels about things, how God thinks about things, and the principles that God puts in His Word of God, when it comes time to pray, and you can pray desperately, God is not obligating Himself to hear your prayers. Now, that's an interesting concept, isn't it? You probably never heard anybody say from the pulpit that if you don't read your Bible, if you don't try to find out about how God thinks and who God is, you can't expect God to answer your prayer. The only one he's committed himself to under those circumstances is the prayer of repentance to ask for forgiveness and he'll come into your life. The rest of them, no commitment to any answer. You want answers? That sounds angry, doesn't it? But if you want answers, read it. It's in the Word. It covers everything.
Russ, gosh, what are you doing?
It's my Bible app.
Oh, yeah. My little granddaughter goes, oh. Yeah.
Well, I guess we're at the end of this, aren't we?
We are at the end of this.
Put that thing away.
Put it away. You know, when we had phones at home, we could walk away from them.
Yeah.
When they were on the wall, they were on the desk or whatever, and we finally got an answering machine. We got pagers, and now we carry around a virtual, I can catch you anywhere.
We're connected.
Yes, we are connected.
We like staying connected.
Mm-hmm. We do, right here on Cowboy Church. Write to us at the address shown on your screen. You can email us, you can get us on Facebook. But we rely upon your donations. So if you've been blessed today, we would ask you to send a donation for Cowboy Church. That's how we stay on the air. We love you. We thank you for your interest in Cowboy Church. And we'll see you next time, right here.
Stay connected.